Hello, this is Joan with the Bloomington Normal Pantograph, dated Thursday, October 15th, 2020. We will begin today's reading on the front page with the article headlined, 8 McLean County Board Seats Contested. Taxes, Transparency, Mental Health Care Among Topics in Race, by Kevin Barlow. Bloomington. 8 of the 10 McLean County Board districts have contested races this fall. Only Republican incumbents Catherine Metzger, District 1, and Josh Barnett, District 10, are unopposed for re-election. In District 2, Democrat Jeff Bertrand will face incumbent Republican William Friedrich. "I am running to give everyone in our district their own voice," Bertrand of Hayworth said. "When I decided to run, I had to Google my opponent, as I did not know who he was. That is not representation. That is resting on the ideal that you will always make 60% of people happy with your vote." Friedrich, a Hayworth farmer, was appointed to the District 2 seat in July 2019. Incumbent George Wendt faces a challenge from two candidates in District 3. Democrat R.J. McCracken says his top priority will be ensuring transparency in all of the board and committee meetings that are open meetings in McLean County. "I will advocate for and push for live streams of these meetings, not just the monthly county board meeting, as well as upgrades to our technology to make our website more user-friendly, continued resources for live streaming and maintaining the county social media platforms, updating the public comment policy, and doing everything possible to make our government more inclusive and accessible for citizen participation," he said. Libertarian Derek Evans lives in Danvers. "I am running to help demonstrate how government should be more local and less polarized," he said. "All government should have the most power at the most local level, and should not have the top-down approach that it has currently. I believe in personal freedom and the responsibility that comes with that. I am pro-liberty, pro-small business, pro-justice reform, and pro-community." Wendt, a Republican, has served for 12 years on the McLean County Board. "I have consistently voted against any property tax increase," Wendt said. In District 4, Republican William Casely will retire from the board. Republican Adelita Cruz and Democrat Benjamin Webb are battling for his seat. "I believe I have an obligation to share my time and talent with others to help make our community better," said Cruz, an employee of State Farm. "I will utilize my experience in leadership, staffing, budgeting, and short and long-term strategy to ensure McLean County remains a great place to live and work. As a county board member, I will focus on veteran services, mental health services, and transportation." Webb, the 2018 Democratic candidate for Illinois' 105th House of Representatives, lives in Normal and teaches English and theater at University High School. In District 5, John McIntyre of Normal, who has been county board chairman since January 2016 and has been on the board since 2008, will face Democrat Rachel Lund and Libertarian Joanne Littwiller. McIntyre, who also served on the board from 1980 to 1986, co-wrote the County Board Mental Health Action Plan in 2015 and has a master's degree in counseling, said he would like to continue to work to put that plan in effect, especially providing services to help the homeless and psychiatric and counseling services for youth. "Being chairman of the McLean County Board is important to me, and it is important to the well-being of our county," he said. The County Board Mental Health Action Plan, financial stability of McLean County Nursing Home, and cost-effective county services are just a few of the things I will continue to improve. Lund says she believes in environmental leadership, workers' rights, fiscal responsibility, nonpartisan redistricting, and transparency and accessibility. The board needs a fundamental mindset change before making decisions that will impact our community for generations to come, Lund said. I am the candidate best suited to represent the long-term interests of the people in District 5, and I am committed to investing my time and talents to make McLean County an even better place to live for everyone. Litwiller says she is concerned about property taxes in McLean County. McLean County has one of the highest median property taxes in the United States and is ranked 149th of the 3,143 counties in order of median property taxes, she said. The board's longest tenured Democrat, George Gordon, lost the primary election in District 6 to Hannah Beer, who graduated in May from Illinois State University after majoring in political science and minoring in history. Gordon served 6 terms on the county board and retired from ISU as a professor of politics and government. I feel like students have an important voice that needs to be heard, Beer said. I feel like they weren't being represented, and I feel I could do a good job connecting with students and being an advocate for them. She will face Libertarian candidate David Scarpelli. There are 3 competing for the seat in District 7, currently held by Republican Jacob Beard, who is seeking to retain that seat. Opposing him are Democrat Val Lehman and Libertarian Darren Cabe. I believe our community is best when decisions are made locally, when there are strong civic institutions, and when we listen and work to solve the everyday problems that face us, Beard said. I believe in promoting policies that put people first, Lehman said. It's time for equity in our health and justice systems. The county board should not be in the position of profiting from its citizens' misfortunes, as it currently does with the McLean County Jail video conferencing contract. It should also consider ending cash bail for nonviolent offenders. I am not your typical politician, Cabe said. I want to listen to the people. I am to serve and do my best to ensure a fair government for all. In District 8, Republican Jordan Baker and Democrat Lee Klein are battling for the open seat formerly held by Democrat Carlo Rubastelli, who moved out of state. I am running on a platform of economic opportunity, fiscal responsibility, supporting local businesses, and government transparency, Baker said. Klein, who has filed to fill the vacant seat, describes herself as pro-small business and pro-community. Working as a faculty member at ISU has made me keenly aware of the difficulty that many of our residents, both youth and adults, face when seeking adequate long-term treatment for mental health. Incumbent Republican Susan Schaefer faces a challenge from Democrat Jackie Gunderson in District 9. I'm running for re-election to continue being the champion for systemic change to the behavioral health services in McLean County by working and collaborating with others to continue moving forward with new and innovative initiatives, Schaefer said. I possess the commitment, motivation, creativity and leadership skills needed to be a voice for the residents of McLean County, Gunderson said. I'm running for McLean County Board to bring a fresh perspective of continuous improvement and progress. The next front page story is entitled, McLean County Reports 44 New Cases, by Paul Sweech. Bloomington. 44 more McLean County residents have tested positive for COVID-19, but another 35 have recovered. Meanwhile, Ford County reported its 7th COVID death on Wednesday. The woman in her 80s was associated with Piper City Rehab and Living Center in Piper City, said Danielle Walls, Ford County Public Health Department Community Health Educator. Ward also reported 7 additional COVID cases in Ford County, with one of those also associated with the COVID outbreak at Piper City Rehab. Ford County has had 153 confirmed COVID cases. Marshall County reported two more COVID fatalities, a man in his 70s and a woman in her 80s. Hector Gomez, administrator for the Bureau, Putnam, and Marshall County's health departments, said no more information would be released on the two people, but confirmed that Marshall County has had three COVID-related deaths. In McLean County, Health Department Administrator Jessica McKnight reported Wednesday that the new cases mean that 3,744 county residents have had the novel virus since March 19th. So far this week, 203 people have been diagnosed. Of the total, 3,399 have recovered from the virus, an increase of 35 from Tuesday. But 11 people are hospitalized, three more than on Tuesday, with none in intensive care, McKnight said. Another 304 county residents are isolating at home, six more than on Tuesday. 30 McLean County residents have died of the virus. The three most recent deaths were reported Tuesday. The county's seven-day positivity rate, the percentage of tests that have come back positive in the past week, was 4.9%, McKnight said, an increase from the 3.9% on Tuesday. Of more than 85,100 tests in McLean County since March, 4.4% have come back positive, unchanged from Tuesday. At Illinois State University in the past 7 days, there have been 1,111 student tests on campus, with 27 coming back positive for a positivity rate of 2.4%. Since testing began on campus on August 17th, of 12,273 student tests, 1,387 have tested positive for COVID for a positivity rate of 11.3%. compared with Tuesday's rate of 11%. However, that number has been declining gradually for about a month. ISU also reported that 1,358 students have recovered from the virus. Elsewhere in central Illinois, Tazewell County reported 49 new cases to bring its total up to 2,227. Livingston County reported 6 new cases to bring its total to 513. LaSalle County reported 36 new cases to bring its total to 2,054. And Logan County reported 5 new cases to bring its total to 523. In addition to reporting the Ford and Marshall counties' deaths, the Illinois Department of Public Health also reported COVID-related fatalities in Logan and Woodford counties. But those deaths were announced by those counties' health departments earlier. Statewide, 49 additional COVID-related deaths and 2,862 new COVID cases were reported Wednesday, bringing the state's totals to 327,605 cases and 9,074 deaths since March. The statewide seven-day positivity rate for COVID cases as a percent of tests was 4.6%, compared with 4.5% the day before. As of Tuesday night, 1,974 Illinoisans were hospitalized with COVID, with 390 of them in intensive care. There were 602 people tested Tuesday at the COVID-19 testing site operated by Reditus Laboratories at the McLean County Fairgrounds, the county's emergency management agency said. That testing site, 1106 Interstate Drive, Bloomington, is open 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. daily, except holidays and during severe weather. People may pre-register at testdirectly.com/McLean. In addition, the health department and Chestnut Health Systems will again have mobile drive-up or walk-up COVID testing from 9 a.m. to noon Thursday at 307 North Harrison Street, Colfax. Both sites use self-administered nasal swab testing. Since the health department and Chestnut began offering mobile testing on July 23rd. More than 400 tests have been completed in three rural McLean County communities, McKnight said. Testing is recommended for people who have COVID-19 symptoms, people who have been within 6 feet of an infected person for at least 15 minutes, and people who have been referred by their health care provider, local or state health department. The two testing sites are open to anyone, regardless of symptoms or known exposure. People who know or think they have COVID must stay home and isolate for 10 days since symptoms first appeared, McKnight said. In addition, they must be fever-free for 24 hours without the use of fever-reducing medicine and must experience improvement in COVID symptoms before their isolation ends. People who have been in close contact with them need to quarantine for 14 days. The next local news story is entitled, Unit 5, Parents Question Bilingual Changes, by Kelsey Watznauer. Normal. Three parents of Cedar Ridge Elementary students spoke to the McLean County Unit 5 School Board Wednesday night, addressing recent changes to the bilingual program that district officials said are part of district-wide shifts in classes as the hybrid model begins. Superintendent Kristen Weichel said bilingual education will remain mostly unchanged for students both in remote and hybrid classes at Cedar Ridge. However, bilingual students in grades 3 to 5 who remain in 100% remote learning will be assigned to a monolingual teacher. English was not the primary language of 31% of the school students in 2019, according to state data. A representative from the Immigration Project, a nonprofit provider of legal services with offices in Normal and Champaign, reached out to members of the community this week, urging them to support Unit 5 parents of bilingual students who have concerns. Advocacy is not the mission of Immigration Project, wrote Sarah Miller, Community Navigators Manager for the firm. I personally felt that I could not ignore this mom's plea for our support of immigrant children. Demacio Rodas, the father of a Cedar Ridge student, said he is concerned about the bilingual education and support his son will receive with a monolingual teacher, because the child primarily speaks and writes in Spanish at this point. Those 11 students who will learn remotely in grades 3 to 5 will be given English as a second language and bilingual literacy support to provide them the essential standards of the grade level, as well as the linguistic support we know they will need until we're all able to be back in person, Weichel said. Another parent, Irma Gomez, said she doesn't believe the kindergarten through second grade students should be grouped together, which is part of the plan for the younger remote students. Weichel said those 10 students will learn together from a bilingual teacher while they continue to learn from home. To accommodate remote and hybrid learning, classes across the district and grade level have been combined and rearranged, including 50 certified staff members at the elementary level being given a remote learning assignment, Weichel said. The hybrid model will begin next week, bringing back Unit 5 students in pre-kindergarten through second grade, as well as sixth and ninth graders. The remaining grades, 3rd, 4th, 5th, 7th, 8th, 10th, 11th, and 12th, will come back the week of October 26th to 30th. In other business, Hope Wheeler, a principal auditor from Clifton Larson Allen, gave an audit report for the district and said there were no findings for Unit 5, indicating a clean audit. Board members Mike Trask, Alan Kalitsky, and President Amy Roser praised Unit 5's financial leaders for their work toward a clean bill of health, which Trask compared to pitching a perfect game. The 2019-20 audit was approved by the board. a contract between the district and Unit 5 Education Association for 2020-23 also was approved by the board Wednesday. With this contract, the district will meet the state requirement to pay teachers a minimum of $40,000 per year, a year earlier than mandated. The next story is entitled, Murder Hearing Delayed. Bruce sentencing on hold while new attorney eyes case. By Kelsey Watznauer. Bloomington. The sentencing hearing for Tewan Bruce, a Decatur man convicted of murder in the 2018 death of a Bloomington man, was delayed again Wednesday to give his new attorney time to review the case before moving forward. Attorney Zach Pollock of Joliet requested the transcript of Bruce's August trial and said he would need time to review the case materials before filing any post-trial motions. Bruce, 22, was found guilty of first-degree murder in the death of 20-year-old Edgerton Dover, who was killed in December 2018 in Bloomington. His murder charges involve home invasion and robbery, and he was also found guilty of separate charges of home invasion and robbery in this case. Last week, Judge Scott Drzewski held what is known in Illinois as a crankle hearing, a type of hearing in which a defendant complains about an attorney's performance. Bruce made several claims in an attempt to show he had ineffective assistance of counsel, but Drzewski said each claim lacked merit to appoint a new attorney. Bruce's public defenders, Mark Messman and Mackenzie Frizzle, were allowed to withdraw from his case after Pollock entered his appearance. Messman and Frizzle previously had filed motions for a new trial and for a judgment, notwithstanding the verdict of the jury, which were expected to be argued Wednesday. Pollock may file new post-trial motions. Bruce's next court date will be December 21st, when the court will hear arguments on the defense's motion. Depending on the outcome of the motions, sentencing could take place that afternoon. Bruce is one of three Decatur men police identified as suspects in Dover's death. Anthony Gramsis, Bruce's co-defendant in this case, was sentenced in September to 45 years in prison for his involvement in Dover's death. Police have said Curtis Hairston, 18, was also believed to be involved. He died during a 2019 shooting at a Decatur restaurant. And here's a story entitled, Couple Go All Out for Halloween. Spectators welcome to Spooky Spectacle at 9 Hidden Court. By Annalisa Trofimik. Bloomington. The Bloomington residence at 9 Hidden Court has temporarily transformed into the ultimate Halloween house. Skeletons are playing with a Ouija board on the front porch, a giant serpent is slithering out of the ground, and a massive solar-powered spider is building its nest on the roof. For the last 20 years, Jessie Kreenard has celebrated her favorite holiday by decorating the house inside and out. Every year we try to do something new or a little bit different, said Kreenert. She and her partner, Steve Fast, seek out additions for their display at local auctions, thrift stores, and dollar stores. A telephone booth, which sits on their front porch all year, was a listing on Craigslist. Several of the decorations and lights are solar-powered. Sometimes we just create things we find, Kreenert said. Ghosts in the tree near the front of the house were made with black fabric. Kreenert and Fast love Halloween so much, they keep certain indoor decorations up throughout the year. The coronavirus pandemic is causing changes to most plans this year. Traditional trick-or-treating is being discouraged by state and local officials who have released guidelines for how to celebrate in a way that limits the spread of COVID-19. Bloomington Normal Law Enforcement recently released a joint statement discouraging trick-or-treating this year. But if families were to go out, they should be socially distant and wear face coverings. Parents could arrange outdoor gatherings where kids and a parent wearing face masks could pick out candy that is spread out on tables, said Ngozi Ezike, director of the Illinois Department of Public Health. For anyone wearing a costume, whether a child or an adult, a costume mask is not a substitute for face coverings, Ezike said. If face coverings are worn under the costume mask, please ensure that this does not create any breathing problems. And if it does, don't discard your face covering. Put the costume mask aside. The rules forbid haunted houses, but allow for hayrides and visits to pumpkin patches and orchards, with limits on participation that allow for proper social distancing. Kreener said people are welcome to drive by to look at their decorations, but the family will not be handing out candy on the night of Halloween to prevent the further spread of COVID-19. We want to respect the situation, so we won't pass out candy this year, Kreener said. But people are more than welcome to drive through here to see the decorations. Here's an item entitled, Normal Man Charged with Aggravated Domestic Battery, by Kelsey Watznauer. Bloomington. A normal man faces battery charges in McLean County. Skylar McKay Meredith, 25, is charged with aggravated domestic battery involving strangulation, unlawful restraint, and a misdemeanor domestic battery, accused by police of grabbing and pushing a family or household member, causing injury. Meredith was jailed in lieu of posting $2,035, and an arraignment was scheduled for October 30th. And here is an item entitled, Can You Help? Normal Police Looking for Two Retail Theft Suspects, by Kelsey Watznauer. Normal. Normal police are asking for the public's help in identifying suspects in a retail theft investigation. Two photos were posted to the department Facebook page Wednesday morning featuring two people at Hobby Lobby, 306 Towanda Avenue in Normal. One person has red-orange hair and the other has purple hair and wears black framed glasses. Anyone with information related to this retail theft or the suspects is asked to contact Officer Joe Benner at 309-454-9535 or jbenner@normal.org. We'll take a short break now and return with the second half hour of the Pantograph for October 15th. Please stay tuned.